Welcome, everybody. Today we had church in the park at St. Luke's in Post Falls. So St. Luke's is now a church on the move. It's great to gather people as much as possible in these days. Here we are, about to start a new year of school and other programs right at the beginning of September, Labor Day weekend, about to kick the fall season into swing. And we're looking down the pike into the challenge of an oncoming new program year. And we look down this channel with a lot of uncertainty, but also with as much resolve as we can muster. All sorts of questions face us. How will school play out this year for our children? How will college work out for our young adults? How will health balance with employment? When will cases begin to drop again in Kootenai County and across the region? The health concerns that run deep due to the COVID-19 pandemic are no small, petty concerns. They affect so many facets of our lives. And the intermittent precautionary preventions we have, increased attention to hygiene, using masks, and minimizing close, sustained interactions, they seem so small compared to what we'd like to do. Give us something to build. Give us a specific task, something to do, not something to stop doing. The precautions and preventions run against our very American desire to get busy and fix it now. And the strange stillness and solitude allows space for us to get anxious, go a little bit stir crazy, and feel uncertain about where to put our energies. Add this to the stresses and concerns of a nation facing continuing challenges of racial injustices in an election year that has high stakes and of an economy that has been profoundly affected by this pandemic, and the level of uncertainty can seem way too thick. Anxious anxiety is draining for all of us, right? And we need each other. We need love to sustain us and carry us through. And we need humor. A church musician in the region sent out an update letter to friends and family, noting the challenges of this time for everyone, and then offering a series of jokes to lighten everyone's spirits. Let me share a few of them with you. And a warning, these are along the lines of the humor known as dad jokes that are particular favorites of my youngest, so I'm expecting some groans. What did the duck say when she bought a lipstick? Put it on my bill! I hate Russian dolls. They're just so full of themselves. Why did the can crusher quit his job? Because it was so depressing. So depressing! I just went to an emotional wedding. Even the cake was in tears. In tears! And then this last one, thanks to Jordan, my youngest, who found it on the internet. What did Batman say to Robin before they got in the car? Robin, get in the car. One gift we bring each other and can bring ourselves is humor, mirth, a bit of joyful silliness. We need to laugh. We need the healing gift of fun, not fun at the expense of someone else, but fun in the sense of seeing the humor there that there is in life itself. After all, we're funny creatures, every one of us, no matter what age we are. Life is full of funny twists and turns, and humor can be good medicine that helps change our perspective and loosen us up. Martin Luther said, "The gospel is nothing less than laughter and joy." One of my old mentors was fond of some wisdom from Martin Luther along this line. So Martin, as a reformer, really wrestled with a lot of internal and external challenges and sensed them as spiritual tormentors. And he found strength in laughter and joy, and even mocking himself and the demonic forces he sensed pressing in on him. So in his book, Table Talk, Luther said, the best way to drive out the devil, if he will not yield to texts of Scripture, is to jeer and flout him, for he cannot bear scorn. Friends in Christ, the risen one, let's laugh. Let's find joy with each other in the joy of the resurrection. After service, before you leave today, tell someone a joke or share a funny story. Let laughter be one of the gifts we offer each other today. Now, healthy humor is only one piece of the medicine of loving connections with others. And it's a small piece, thin piece. We need to remember, for many, it is not easy to find joy and laughter in these days. The families of those shot in the streets and in their homes are not laughing. In some cases, they're not even weeping. As the sister of Jacob Blake said, "I've not shed a tear. All my tears are spent from years of watching my people shot." She said, "I don't want your pity. I want change." When someone says, "Help me," that is a call to us to get up and do something, to act, not to argue, not to pity, to act. Love is more than sentiment. Any of us who have been married, have raised children, have lived with parents, know this is true. Love is more than sentiment. Love is more than warm feelings shared and given. Love is action. Love is a verb with a capital V. As Paul puts it in Romans, love is the verb for followers of Jesus. It is the way of life for us, and it shapes everything we think and say and do. To love means to act. When we see someone signaling for help on the road, holding a gas can, or standing in front of a blown tire, how many of us have stopped? When we've seen a fight or confrontation between people where there's unkindness being spewed, how many of us have stepped in to calm things down? If someone falls down on the sidewalk, how many of us help someone up? The cry of the people of Israel, enslaved in Egypt thousands of years ago, was a cry for help. Not for pity, but for help. For deliverance, for rescue. After years of suffering the whips and chains of slavery and the death order of Pharaoh to slaughter baby boys in order to control their population and the threat of their rising strength as a people, they gathered around Moses, who brought God's promise of strong deliverance and rescue. And the God of gods, the Lord, brought awakening afflictions on the Egyptians until their pain was enough that they also groaned for release. Sadly, there are those who stubbornly hold on to their positions, their stances, their own senses of rightness, their power, and refuse to change until loss comes close enough that it costs them directly. Pharaoh was self-absorbed enough that he needed to lose something dear and close to him in order for his heart to move. And even then, not because of love, but because of grief and rage. Pray, friends of Christ, pray that we don't get sucked into our own self-assured stances and beliefs, our own self-absorptions, to the point that we fail to see and hear the cries of "Help me!" that are all around us. Pray that we move to act out of open and daring love, and not out of grudging resentfulness or out of guilt. Pray that we dare to act. Pray that we follow Jesus' bold way of love, to proclaim and seek freedom for those who are in any kind of prison in their lives, to proclaim and help bring sight to those who are blind, and to set free those who are oppressed. Friends, love is action. In the uncertainty of these days and weeks and months ahead, we need love. And we need to love. Not just in sharing of warm feelings, not that. In acts of giving and receiving that make a difference in people's lives. As Paul said in Romans, now is the time to wake from sleep. So, friends, today, decide where you will act in love. Is there someone in your life who is in a bad situation? What will you do this week to help them? Are there families who are struggling to eat, pay rent, make ends meet? What will you do this week to step in and to step up the helping efforts of this community? What will you do this week to love your neighbors as much as yourself? Jesus' primary call is for us to love God, love one another, love our neighbors as much as ourselves. From today's gospel reading, we see a form of love that is about truth-telling and truth-receiving. So look at the text in Matthew. Jesus' great command to love includes loving others enough to tell the truth to each other and to hear the truth from others. It includes loving others enough to forgive. It includes loving others enough to join hearts in common prayer and purpose. And it includes loving others enough to confront when we've gone astray. Love in speech with one another means loving each other enough to know and declare the truth. It means saying the hard things sometimes. It means confronting when someone has gone wrong. It means finding your way through conflict, not by avoiding it, but by facing it honestly and directly with someone, and with others' help when that's needed. It means holding discipline and consistent expectations as a community for how to act and speak with one another. On the receiving side, it means recognizing that we're accountable for our actions and speech and attitudes. We belong to something larger than ourselves. And if we become so self-absorbed that, like Pharaoh, we harden our hearts even before the whole community, then we set ourselves outside the community. Imagine if we handled conflict this directly, in a spirit of love that holds truth at its core. Now, it's interesting that Jesus has to say about the last stage of conflict. If someone can't be moved by the whole community together, then that person is to be regarded as a tax collector and a Gentile. But here's the thing. Who in the end is this gospel for? Who does Jesus seek out regularly? Who does the good news come to? This reading is from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew, who was a tax collector, whom Jesus sought out specifically. This gospel is for everyone. So, even though the faith community may change its relationship with someone who refuses to change, the doors remain open, and we continue in relationship of caring outreach to that person. The doors are never shut. Love means speaking the truth. With whom in your life, even in this faith community where you can practice, with whom is there conflict or disagreement? Who will you approach for conversation in this next week? That kind of honest, true, heartfelt, and direct conversation. Friends, let us love. Let us be known as Christians for this, for love. It's no small order. It's no simple thing. Let's offer humor and mirth, yes. Let's also step up and act to help and deliver others, yes. And let us speak the truth in love. Even as the pandemic continues to shape our lives, even as we continue as a society to wrestle with the inheritances of sin that have left us with systems and patterns of deep racial injustice, even as we ride the waves of our anxious society hurtling toward another election, we are to love. Love. And in this time, we can call upon God to act. God will save. God will deliver. God will redeem. May it be so. And may we be part of it. So as Batman said to Robin, "Robin, get in the car."